We've enjoyed these songs. And certainly it's been a blessing to be out to the house of the Lord this evening. And Larry was telling me before church that Riverside's young preacher wasn't going to be able to make it this evening. And I guess Billy Clarence is about the youngest one they got and the oldest one they got. I'm just speaking the truth. I love Brother Clarence, and I appreciate him, and we've been together a long time. Not everybody can talk about Clarence like that, but I can. He'll get me after church. And if y'all notice, he used to preach on me all the time about my hair. I think my hair is shorter than his. I think I ought to preach on hair tonight. Amen. No, I'm just kidding with you. George is about to crack up back there. She knows I'm telling the truth. But we appreciate our brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's just terrible that we don't get to have more time together than what we do. But one day we're going to have all eternity, Brother Clarence, to have just a wonderful time praising the Lord. And Brother Dewey, you did a great job singing that song, and I appreciate that tonight as well. Brother Steve's going to come and preach for us. He's the youngest preacher in the house. And we're going to ask him to come. His sister's here in town, and she ain't got to hear him in a long time. So a lot fell from him. Larry told me, he said, go get what you can. I said, we're going to go fishing with a net. We're just going to cast the net out and see what it brings in. And let's pray for Brother Steve that God will just use him. He's been set aside to be ordained, and we want God just to use him in a mighty way. You pray that he'll get himself out of the way, and God would show up with the Holy Spirit and be able to use this young preacher. So pray for him tonight, would you?
It's good to be in God's house tonight. I guess we'll just go with the preacher with the least amount of hair. And that'd be me. So we won't have to worry about that message coming along. But, you know, this morning was a good opportunity to be in God's house, and certainly a message went out. Could have seen somebody get saved this morning. I'm thankful that each and every time God's people gather, it's an opportunity for someone to do just like Tara sang about, somebody to let the Spirit get a hold of them and just come to him in a free pardon of sin, just asking him to forgive them. And just what a wonderful thought that was. And just had a few scriptures here, and didn't know tonight when I was coming here that I'd be the one standing. So, you know, God's going to have to have the bigger part of this tonight. But we certainly want to do what God would have us to do. And I tell you what, I got so many scriptures here. And they all kind of have the same, theme. But I don't know exactly how the Lord put this together. But the one thing I do know, he was able to put this thing together all the way from Genesis to Revelations. And he certainly was able to put together a service one night that the preacher came by and preached to my soul. And he was able to put together a life for me that I certainly couldn't put together in that. So, God is the type of God that, if you'll ask him and seek out some things, he'll put things together in your life exactly as he sees fit. And if you decide in your life that you're going to dedicate your life to God, and he'll see fit to guide you each and every day and bring you to a place where you can enjoy your salvation. You can enjoy being a child of God. And Brother Dewey said it, we are royalty this evening and a child of the King in that. And we ought to live like it. We ought to understand that our Father, the King in heaven, certainly gives us everything that we want. If we'll just ask for him, ask for him to give us those things, he'll give us all things that we need. We'll want for nothing in this life. And that's the spiritual things. Now I tell you, each and every one of us here probably have a job in that. We have to go out into the world. Tells us to go out into the highways and the byways and that, but he gives us down in our soul everything that we need, gives us all the peace and joy that we could ever understand, gives us everything that we've got. So, and I guess in Romans chapter 6, I guess is where we'll start, just to see just where God's going to go with this, but we'll start out in chapter 6 in Romans, in verse 3, if you want to stand for the reading of God's Word. It says here, he says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of his Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And that's all I'll read for right now. Just what a wonderful thought that, this is the young people's service. And I thought there as they were singing in that you look across here and my boy was over here playing with some others there, just 4 or 5 years old in that. And you think about the natural life and that, how it just seems like they're in their fullness of life. Don't have a care in the world in that. And if God had allowed it, they might live to be another 80 or 90 years old. In that, and there's some here that we've prayed about that are in hospitals and in hospice and that, and it looks like they might be toward the end of their life in that, but one thing about it I can guarantee you from this time on, if they believe in the Almighty Son of God Jesus Christ, that they're in a newness of life in that. It's a life that never gets old in that. It's a life there that'll take them from this side on to the other side. I don't know anybody who's ever been a child of God in that, and no matter how feeble the body might be, that they've ever said the spirit got tired in that. They've always had a wonderful spirit in that. They tend to grow closer to God as they go by in that. And I just love what a wonderful thought it was, how if God had raised up his Son in that into a newness of life, that he'd do that for us. And y'all think about that. Why would you need to be raised up in a newness of life in that? Just like Tara's song, I guess we'll keep going with that reoccurring theme in that. We were dead in our sins and trespasses one day. Not able to reach heaven and that, no matter how much you were liked by people in the world, no matter how much you thought of yourself, you're dead in your sins and trespasses and that. God said that there'll be no unrighteousness to ever reach heaven. It says in the scriptures there that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to reach heaven and that. You'll not chase after the things of the world and ever find anything in God. You've got to give up on those things and seek after God. Well, I'm thankful for that one night. He came to my house one night and told me that I was dead in my trespasses and sin. And I didn't know exactly what that meant. I'd been told in my life, I guess. My family dedicated their life to God. And my sister, you talk about a little sister being annoying before. When she got saved and I was lost, she was more annoying than I could ever imagine, because she kept telling me I was lost and undone. And knowing, I guess, deep down inside, that she was a whole lot younger than me. But she was right and I was wrong. And I had to come to the Lord and I had to get saved. I didn't know what it meant to be lost. I didn't know what exactly that meant. But let me tell you, tonight, if you're lost and undone without God, the scariest part of it is it's separation from God. You're not with God. You're separated from Him. And let me tell you, you walk through this life day by day. You're doing it without God. And surely if you leave this world, whether it be tonight or another 10 years, you'll go to a place where there is no God, where there is no light. They call it the outer darkness. Let me tell you, you don't want to go to that kind of place. You want to be the kind that was mentioned here in the scriptures, that have been brought up in the newness of life, brought up, raised up and baptized through the fire and the Holy Spirit. You'll always be where light can shine in front of you. You'll always be where the sun always shines. This world is an awful dark place. There's a lot of sin in this world. You can just watch your news channels. You can see the things that people are doing to one another. Think of what they're doing to their children. What our leaders are doing to our country. Let me tell you, deep down inside, God lights up my world and gives me a peace and a joy that separates me from that. When this world starts to get me down, I just find myself in altar and I go to God in prayer. He sets me aside from that and tells me and reminds me where He brought me from. The Bible calls it the mire and the muck. Let me tell you, and He puts me up in a solid rock, up in a high place, and lets me know that no matter what happens, if I leave this world, no matter what happens to this world around me, that I'm one of His, and He is mine, and He saved my family, and He saved my children, and everything's going to be all right. What a wonderful thought this evening. Just what a wonderful thought that no matter how terrible things get, that everything's going to be all right. I don't have to worry about death. Brother Larry gave his testimony this morning, 5 years cancer-free. But let me tell you, and if it hadn't been that way, and we'd already had Brother Larry leave us, he'd be in a place where heaven is. He'd be in a place where God dwells. What a wonderful thought. Can each and every one of us say that this evening? That if you leave this life, that you're in a place where God dwells. Ask yourself that. What a wonderful thought that is. Got a story here. The ruler's daughter, my Bible calls it. He says, while he spake these things, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped after him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And he rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And when he came to the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand. And the maid arose, and the fame thereof went abroad unto all that land. And I tell you what, it just takes a little faith tonight. It just takes a little faith. This man, he had lost his daughter, and I'm sure medicine being what it is, there wasn't a whole lot of things they could have done. Just maybe checked her pulse to see maybe she was breathing or not. They declared her dead, but this man, he had faith in one named Jesus, and that if he could go and find him, that he could overcome, like the Bible says, death, hell, and the grave. He had the key to that. He was the only one. It didn't say here, like the woman with the issue of blood, that he went to a whole lot of different people. He just went seeking after one, and that's the one that I had to seek after. And if you're going to be saved tonight, it's the same one that you have to seek after. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And he went to him, and he told him, if you just come, that my daughter might live again, knowing full well tonight that if you come, you'll not be dead in your trespasses and sins, but you'll be alive again. Listen, he went there to that house. There were people there that had already witnessed that this woman was dead, and they were laughing and making fun of him, asking what in the world he had to do there. It was too late for him. Well, just like Sister Sharon sings, when he's 4 days late, he's just on time. Jesus walked into that place. He put the mockers in their place. Those that make fun of Jesus Christ, let me tell you, he has the power to change your mind. He has the power to change your heart. He has the power to change your life. Well, those people were making fun of him. They didn't understand death. And that's exactly the way our lost world is this evening. They don't understand death. They don't understand its permanent condition. Let me tell you, a lot of people think that when you die, that it's just the end. That they lay your body in that casket. They lower it into the ground. And that's it. But let me tell you, there's a life to live beyond this one. This is just a resting place. This is just a preparation place. This is just a place where God created us. And He loves His creation. And He just asks that His creation would serve Him. Just for a little while, and the space of time there, if you add it up, I think it's about 77 years in that. And if you go on beyond that, that's just God blessing you. But listen, it comes a time where appointed time, whereas a man must die out to this fleshly death. But listen, the soul in which a man breathed life into, that's going to go on forever. And I say go on because I don't want to use the term live, because if you die in your lost condition, you're not living throughout eternity. You're dying, and you're dying daily, and you're dying over and over again. Listen, the Bible calls it a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And like I said, it's a place of outer darkness, a place where God does not dwell. But if you get saved and you start living your life for God, He puts you in a place where your soul, when He calls it on home, like it was preached this morning, He reaches across Chile, Jordan, and He brings you into that wonderful place called heaven, where He abides in His Son. Don't wait too long. He'll come back and get His church. It'll be a great grand reunion. He'll come down and listen. God's hand is big enough to come by and get you just one, or He's just big enough to come back and get His whole church. What a wonderful God. Well, I'll tell you what, we had two baptized this morning. And just a couple weeks ago, we had two others baptized. He's saving them two by two. And he's baptizing them two by two. And let me tell you, I'll read back into the story there of Noah and the ark. Maybe we'll get them seven by seven one time. If that be his will, and that, my God can save just as many as will come. You don't have to wonder if there's too many. And if God can't hear your prayer amongst the rest of the prayers, God will be able to hear the prayers of the sinner if they make that one prayer. The only prayer he hears of a sinner is, God, save me and my sins. All those other prayers, they fall on deaf ears. But my God is the kind of God that he sends out the message and he sends out the word of God. Listen to a lost person, this whole Bible, it was written for you tonight that you might be able to come to a house of God and you might be able to hear the preached word and it might be able to show itself unto you as the truth. I didn't come here tonight. I don't know each and every person here tonight. I don't know if I'm preaching to a whole church of lost people or not. I don't know if it's a whole church of saved people or not. I don't know your heart tonight. None of the preaching brothers know your heart tonight. We just know this. When a message falls upon a preacher like this, and the message starts going out to the lost, hey, it's not going on deaf ears. It'll not go out void. The word of God was written so that man might be saved. All these things were done for an example to us to follow after those ways. This is the exact same way that it was preached 2,000 years ago. And I tell you what, you come back here next week, and it's going to be preached the same way. Go on over to Riverside and visit them. It'll be preached the same way. Go on over to any other Baptist church that they fellowship with. Let me tell you, it's going to be preached the same way. It's one gospel, one Bible, one Lord, and one God. And you're not going to find another way to make it into heaven. If you try to find another way, the Bible calls you a thief and a robber. You'll not find your way in that way. You have to come through Jesus Christ and Him crucified, believing that the blood shed on Calvary was enough to wipe away your sins and cover your heart from this day to the day of redemption. Boy, I feel good tonight. I didn't know God had all this in store. I honestly didn't, but I tell you what. Well, that's exactly what I had to hear the night I was lost. And I got saved. I don't remember exactly what scripture was read. I don't exactly remember the message. I just remember that the word of God came by my way and told me that I was lost and undone without God. And I was 24 years old. And a lot of people will think, well, that's about the age where people start to get out on their own and they start to figure out what they're going to do with their life and what career path they're going to make in that. And you start looking for that helpmate in that. But God came by one day and told me I wasn't ready for any of that. I didn't have God on my side yet. There was something more important I needed to do. I needed to be saved. And that's the way it is tonight. The word of God is going out and it's just begging and pleading for somebody to take it upon themselves to understand. No matter where you are in life, whether you're one of these little fellas in the back or whether you're one of the elders in the church or one of, no matter how far up in years you are, if you're lost and undone without God, there is no Saint Peter standing at the gate. There's nobody with a list checking off the good things you've done in your life. You can't be nice enough. You can't volunteer enough. You can't be there for your people enough. You can't get patted on the back enough to make it into heaven. You must have the blood applied. That's the way the Bible says it. Listen, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness and said that he was not even worthy to buckle the shoes of Jesus Christ. He wasn't good enough himself to make it into heaven unless the blood be applied. He was preaching that they must be, they must repent and be baptized. Jesus Christ, listen, came and got baptized himself. Can you imagine that? If Jesus Christ himself isn't enough, isn't good enough to come by the word, you're not either. He had to do it the right way. He had to come by the Father. He says, why do you call me good? There's none good but my Father. Jesus Christ had to come by God. And then God said, you know what? If you don't know my Son, I don't know you. God and the Father are one. Jesus Christ and his Father are one. We call it the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son. If you don't come that way, you'll not make it. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through and by Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people in this world that they're thinking that there's another way to get in. They're thinking, you know what, if I just join the right church, and they just talk about me good enough, then I'll make it through. And I tell you, there's people, as mentioned this morning, they tell you, well, if you just sign up and get baptized into our church, that'll be good enough. And it's not going to be good enough. It says in the Bible that you must repent and be baptized. That's all there is to it. Well, what's it mean to repent and be baptized? I don't know how to repent. I don't know what that word means. It just means give your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
It just means admit you're a sinner. You don't have to name off all your sins. The Lord didn't go by. I remember the time there when he knelt down into the sand there and started to write out some things in the sand and told him, he said, anybody here who's absolutely blameless, cast the first stone. He looked up and they were all gone.
Yeah.
Each and every one of us have sin. Each and every one of us were born into this sinful flesh. Each and every one of us must come through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's none worthy. Jesus Christ himself was not worthy. He said in the garden, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He knew it was time for him. Even Jesus Christ had to give power over to the Father. And that's what we have to do tonight. If we're going to get saved, we're going to have to give our life to the Father. We're going to have to give our life to Jesus Christ. We're going to have to admit to the whole world, or at least just this little congregation, that we need the Lord.
Yeah.
I had to do that. And our church was built a little different. There wasn't side aisles, and I was pinned up against the wall. My sister looked over at me and she said, why don't you just go pray? And I had to cross across my sister, I had to cross across my mom, and across my dad just to get to the aisle. I had to admit to my sister and my parents that I was lost and undone without God. I had to admit to everyone else that was behind me. I was sitting up front. Everybody in the church house could see me. And I had to admit to them that I was lost. But I didn't care. I didn't care. The Word of God had told me I was guilty in my sins and I was going to hell if I didn't get saved. And there wasn't a person in that church that could have stopped me. I wanted to make it to the altar. And I tell you what, tonight what we're doing here, what we're talking about here is life and death. It's absolutely the most serious thing you can talk about. It's the most serious thing that will ever happen in your life. If it weren't that way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wouldn't have recorded it that way. It wouldn't have taken so many people and so many words to try to convey it to you. Let me tell you, it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. It's the decision of life versus death. It's the only one that ever matters. Let me tell you, you go into this life, and I'm sure I could talk to people here. Brother Larry and I kind of sort of work in the same industry. I work in pharmaceutical printing, and he works in the pharmaceutical industry. And one day we were just talking about all the different companies that he had worked for and that do exactly what he does. And let me tell you something, some of those companies come and go. Those jobs, they come and go. And my job, it's not the first one I've ever had. I've been an employee of several printing companies, and my jobs come and go. Opportunities in this life come and go. But the one thing that remains the same is Jesus Christ. And the one thing that remains the same for this lost and dying world is that they need Him more than anything itself. More than your next breath, you need Jesus Christ. That's the only thing the Bible tells me. It takes all of this to tell you just tonight, you need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ more than you need your next breath. That's what this whole book says. To those of us that are saved and can read it in a spiritual manner, it tells us so much more, and it lifts us up and it guides us. It teaches us and brings us such a godly knowledge. But to those that are lost, the whole thing just says one thing. You're lost and you need the Lord. That's all I have tonight to tell you. And I guess I've spent several minutes up here saying them a lot of different things. But really what it gets down to tonight is that you're lost and you need Jesus Christ. All these people from Riverside traveled all the way over here to hear the same message they've been listening to for years. Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because they know it's the truth. You ask each and every one of them. Brother Rogers' Bible reads the same way mine does. Clarence Neal's reads the same way his does. Says the same thing. You must be saved. John the Baptist came through the wilderness preaching about one to come and just saying simply, you must repent and be baptized. That's all it is. 2,000 years we've been preaching the same thing. You think you're going to come back some other week and hear something different that's pleasing to your ear? Not going to happen. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Through Him by the blood of Jesus Christ, men are saved. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. It said all men. Didn't say the ones who felt like coming. Didn't say the ones who were really, really bad. It said all men. All men. All men are brought into unrighteousness. All men must be saved. Man, woman, boy, or girl, you must be saved. Go back here and talk to my kids. My two daughters, they're both saved. They're not bad kids. They have friends. They're liked by a lot of people. I love them to death. But they're lost and undone, and they needed to be saved. And then God came by and saved both of them. The whole world wouldn't have thought that. The whole world wouldn't have thought, how in the world can you call an 8-year-old a sinner? The Word of God revealed unto him the truth. All must come in Him and live. All must be saved. That's the way it is. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80. If you've never been to the altar and you've never confessed that you're lost and undone without God, if you've never asked the Lord to save you, you're lost. And you must be saved. And if you've never done that, when you leave this life, you'll spend eternity in hell. And I don't want that for anyone. There's a lot of places out there. This is how it is, folks. I'll say this and then I'll end. There's a lot of places out there in this world that absolutely will not tell you about hell. They absolutely will not tell you about hell. They want to bring people in and tell them about Jesus and how much love he has. Jesus is love. God is love. Just love Jesus and everything's okay. My Bible tells me there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Hell is real. And heaven is real. It says narrow is the path. Straight is the gate. We've got to get on that narrow path. You're not going the way of the broad road. The whole world would like to tell you there's another way in. That you don't have to worry about hell. When you die, nothing happens. It's just death. But there's a few on the narrow path that believe on this way. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you might know tonight that you're lost and undone without God. And it doesn't matter if you're on the front row or you're in the back row. The only person that you need to be honest with tonight is God. And I tell you what, you ask anybody in this church house that's lost, and they'll tell you how unashamed they were to make their way to an altar. I can't imagine if I cared much what anybody thought, nobody else did either. I can't imagine it would matter that much to anybody. So tonight, we'll get a song. And we'll just give you an opportunity, just a little bit of verse there. Just like Sister Tara sang, you know, there's a lot going on in that church service she was singing about. People singing, preacher preaching, people getting up and down in that. We can give you a verse of song. An opportunity. Everybody just be singing the song. We're not watching you. We're not paying attention to you. God loves you. That's the one thing the world hates. But if you're lost and undone without God, he sees the sin in your life. But he has a cure. Ask what you need to get rid of that, to become one of his, to become royalty.
Yes.
Royalty. You want to be the one sitting at the gate.